talk about joy. Joy is not a word we use very often, and we don't talk about it with each other, except on very special occasions. But joy is an exciting word, isn't it? We love experiences that bring joy. And wouldn't it be amazing if we were all filled with joy all the time? How am I doing? I had Pastor Mark going for a minute. It doesn't make any sense to talk about joy in a monotone voice. And it also doesn't make any sense to talk about joy without understanding that all of us, as people of faith, have been given this gift from God, this gift of joy. It's part of who we are as believers in Christ. It's part of our inheritance as believers. We live under this umbrella of joy because of Christ. And I'm sure that joy is probably one of God's favorite words. If you take the word joy or joyful or joyous or rejoice, we find it at least 500 times in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. And the Bible talks about personal joy, about national joy, about joy in Christ, even joy in the midst of the most difficult situations, and also joy as we wait for the return of Christ. If you were not a Christian at all, and you were just looking at the evidence, you would have to say that there is a definite connection between God, His people, and this emotion that we call joy. In John chapter 15, Jesus was teaching about the vine and the branches and how we're connected to Him and how our life flows out of Him and how love is expressed through our obedience to Him. And then in verse 11, He says, "I have told you this, so that your joy may be, my joy may be in you, and that your joy would be complete." Joy is also a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, right? You want to say it with me? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and all that other stuff. And joy can come to people of all ages. It doesn't make any difference whether you're 3 or 103. When my daughter was 3 years old, her name is Tracy, we had to discipline her for something. I don't remember what it was. And we were parents who spanked, and our kids are surviving to this day and have healthy families. So just wanted to let you know that. We don't spank out of anger, right? We spanked to discipline. But anyways, Bev was about ready to spank Tracy for something she had done wrong. And Tracy looked her right in the eyes and she says, "Mom, you can't spank me. I've got the joy." Smart kid. Smart kid. So let's do this. Let's first define joy this morning. I'm not going to give you a one-sentence definition, but I want to give you a few thoughts so you can sort of get the feel of this. Joy in the New Testament comes from the word kara, and it means to be joyful or to rejoice. And here's some definitions. It describes a feeling of inner gladness, delight. Joy in the New Testament is virtually always used to signify a feeling of happiness, but a feeling that doesn't come out of the circumstances, but comes out of our relationship with God. Joy is an inner, deep-seated pleasure. It's not an experience, but it's a gift from God to believers. And finally, joy is the deep-down sense of well-being that comes or abides in the heart when a person knows that his relationship with God is good, that between God and I, We have this solid relationship. There's no barriers. There's nothing hidden. And out of that relationship comes joy. Before we jump into the subject this morning, I want to talk to you, first of all, this morning, to those of you who perhaps came in this morning and you have absolutely no sense of joy at all. I just want to let you know that happens. It does happen. There's so many joy robbers out there. But I want to, as you hear these words this morning, please don't check out. Just because you have no joy this morning, I encourage you to listen. Psalm 30 says, weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And God loves to restore us to that right relationship with Him so that all the pieces of our lives fit together. And I encourage you to be patient and just listen. And if you're here this morning and you're a spiritual dipstick, you know what those are, right? Those are the things that measure your joy level. And if your spiritual dipstick says you're a quart low or maybe 2 quarts low, I just want you to listen, enjoy what we have to say this morning, and to realize that this thing that we call joy in our lives, it is a solid thing, but it's also fragile. And God wants us to experience it fully and richly in Him, but sometimes we've got some work to do just to bring it to that level of fullness. So let's get into this emotion by looking at Psalm 51. If you got a Bible this morning, I encourage you to turn to that. We're not going to cover the entire psalm, but I'm going to cover a few verses. The 23rd Psalm is obviously the most well-known psalm in the Bible, but probably next to that is Psalm 51. And it's David's psalm of repentance after his affair with Bathsheba. If you remember, David was confronted by Nathan the prophet. David had had an affair with Bathsheba. He had arranged to have Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed so that he could marry her. And now he is sitting there with this guilt on his shoulders. And Nathan comes to confront him with that. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. As David is confronted with the truth and as he admits this to God and as he comes clean with God and opens up his life to Him, he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before you. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." I mean, there's no joy there. This is confession time before God. But what an honest expression of remorse. I mean, David is saying, "God, I humbly acknowledge to you everything that I've done wrong, and I'm standing here pleading for your forgiveness. My heart is broken. My guilt is always on my mind. And Lord, I need your forgiveness and I need to be washed clean from this guilt." And in that section, he uses the word transgression, which means rebellion. He talks about iniquity, which is really a distortion of the moral truth of God's laws, and a sin, which is just simply missing the mark. "God, I have missed the mark terribly." And he says, "Against you, you only have I sinned." You know, actually, David's sin was against Bathsheba, and it was against Uriah, but ultimately, anything that we commit is a sin against God, and David acknowledges that. He says, "God, I've sinned." I mean, this man is broken. He's been carrying this guilt around his shoulders for some time, trying either to sweep it under the rug or perhaps to justify it or maybe even just to ignore it. But finally, he can't do that anymore. And he turns to God in his brokenness and he says, "Forgive me." What a great example for all of us. When you sin, when you break God's law, the only thing to do is to confess it Take ownership of what you've done, own it, and confess it to God. And the more honest and open that you and I can be, the greater the healing will be for us. This morning, if you're here and you've got to take care of business with God over something that you've done and is still bothering you, I encourage you to do that this morning before you leave. Well, after asking God to forgive him and cleanse him, David has another request of God. It's in verse 8. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. And then if you skip down to verses 11 and 12, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. If you remember, one of the definitions of joy that I gave you just a few minutes ago was this. Joy comes from knowing that all is well between God and me. And well, that's exactly where David is. He's done his homework, and it's right for him to ask God now to restore that joy. And it's almost automatic. I mean, it has been in my experiences. If there is something that I need to confess to God, and as I do that, almost immediately, the joy returns, that sense of well-being between God and me, and that joy is there again. Can you remember a time in your life when that happened? I'm sure you can. And David knew exactly what this joy was all about. In another psalm, God had answered one of David's prayers, a cry for help. And he says this at the end. He said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I'll give thanks to him in song." Let me give you a green light, all right? If you walk in here on Sunday morning and you feel like leaping for joy because of all that God has done for you, I want to give you permission to do that. And get a few people around you to follow you around and do some leaping of your own and just express this joy to God. We sometimes are so conservative and so kind of cautious about our actions. But here's David literally saying, "My heart is leaping for joy." So if it's in here, let it out, right? Let it out. Well, let's talk about two important concerns this morning about this subject of joy. First, what do you do when you get hit with all of those things that can rob you of joy? And there's plenty of them out there, isn't there? And second, how can we develop healthy habits so that we can hold on to the joy that God gives us? So first of all, let's talk about those joy robbers in our lives. Much of life doesn't bring joy at all. I mean, there's a long list of obstacles to joy. You want to help me with this for a minute? What are some of those obstacles to joy? Those things that just kind of invade our lives and rob us of joy.
Taxes.
Taxes. Sickness, death,
work,
injury, family problems,
the news.
Did anybody say money, financial problems? How about aging? Anybody with me? A couple of you on that one? Those crazy Democrats in Washington. And those crazy Republicans in Washington too, right? Can they rob you of joy as you're watching the news at night? I sometimes wonder why anybody would even turn the TV on. I still find myself doing it, but there is nothing good on the news at 6:30 at night. It's mostly, almost always, about things that will rob you of joy. Besides that, we have to deal with these crazy personalities of ours. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're melancholy. I tend to live on my emotions. Anybody else here built that way? Some of you are more
left brain and you can think things through logically. I tend to look at the world emotionally, and so I tend to have reactions to most anything. So when good things happen, we're happy. When bad things happen, we're not so happy. And it doesn't take much. How about a month of temperatures between 90 and 115 degrees, right? That's been crazy lately. The 91 freeway. Oh, man, yes, all right. And fires and unexpected bills and a car that won't start and an overdrawn overdrawn bank statement, speeding ticket, even a bad hair day. I don't worry about that anymore. But here's the deal. A man named Frederick Buchner, who's a writer and a preacher, wrote this. He said, "We are in constant danger of being not actors in the dramas of our lives, but reactors, allowing our moods and our circumstances to take us wherever they will." He's right. At least for some of us, he's right. That we tend to just react to the circumstances around us rather than controlling this drama of our own lives. But did you know that God gives us a key to living with problems and difficulties and frustrations? It's found in a book in 1 Thessalonians. It's tucked away in the back in chapter 5, and it's hardly noticeable. But it's a key to, it's sort of God's key to a script that we can use so that we're not reactors to the dramas of our lives, but actors. It's sort of a paddle to keep us in the current, in the center of the river, rather than in that side waters where all the negative thinking happens. And it's simply this. God says to all of us, be joyful always. Be joyful always. It's a command. Interesting, right? It's a command that we are to embrace this joy that God has, protect that joy, and live in that joy regardless of what the circumstances are. Be joyful always. Philippians 4 has a similar command. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Same thing. So it's simply adopting this joy-filled attitude and expressing my joy to God and praising Him no matter what the circumstances are. Does that sound even doable? Some people would say, well, that's just positive thinking. But it's not. It's more than that. This is an expression of faith in God. So no matter what happens, it's my choice, if I'm paying attention to this, to go deeper and to express my trust and my confidence in God no matter what the circumstances say. So this is your paddle against negative currents. This is your script so that you stay in charge of your life. So I'd like your help for just a couple of minutes. I'd like to rehearse a few situations and then to look for joy-filled expressions that we can use even in life's difficult situations. All right, so first one I'm going to do, and then I'm going to ask your help with the other ones. So I go to the dentist and find out I need a root canal, and it's going to cost me $700 even with insurance. So that could ruin my whole day, right? That could pull that joy out from under you. You could walk home bummed out and you just, you know, it can color your whole day. But if we are rejoicing always, here's what it might sound like. Lord, I just hate spending money on things like this, and I certainly don't want a root canal. But I praise you that I have good health. I praise you, Lord, that I have the ability to pay for this treatment that I'm going to have. And I'm not going to allow a root canal or anything else to rob me of the joy that you've given to me. So that's sort of what that sounds like. Okay? So I've got some other ones. I'd like to get your reactions to that. See if you want to try it. You didn't get that job that you thought was perfect for you. All right? How do you react to that with joy? Anybody want to try it? Jim.
Yeah, that's because God's got a better one.
All right, there you go. All right, thank you, Lord. I didn't get this job. I thought it was right for me, but I trust you. I trust you that through this, you are working out your purposes in my life, and whatever you have for me will be better for me than the job that I thought was best for me. Good job. All right, thank you. How about this? Got any teenagers here? We got a few teenagers. Anybody? Up there. Okay. You find somebody that you thought was a friend of yours, and he's spreading rumors about you at school. Anybody want to try that one on? Want to try that, Jacob? You can say no if you don't want to.
Thank you, God, for showing me who isn't my friend.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you, God, for showing me who isn't my friend. Right? And I'll take that a step further. Thank you, Lord, that you are my ultimate, that Jesus, that you are my ultimate friend, and I can always rely on you. And I thank you, God, for the reputation that you have given to me because my life is in you. All right, good job. Thank you. Huh?
Yes, that.
That, yeah, that one. All right. I got another one. You got your tickets all paid for. You're going on a cruise. A last-minute health problem says you're not going on that cruise after all. All right, anybody want to try that one? Sue? It didn't happen to you? And all right. Did you throw things or did you respond by being joyful always? Oh, okay. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from that terrible cruise because it was going to be boring and I didn't want to go and I didn't like the people I was going with, right? Oh, okay. So you were gracious. You were thankful for that. All right. You want to try one?
How about thank you, Lord, for not letting me get sick on
the That would have been worse, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So there's an interesting twist on that. Thank you, Lord, that I got sick now rather than later. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to now use all of this time. I can devote time to you, God, rather than spending time in eating and eating and eating on the cruise, I can partake of some soul food, some nourishment for my soul here at the house, right? Okay, yeah, all right. Got any more of those? No, that's it, enough of those. Did you know that God has a sense of humor and most likely you will probably have an opportunity this week to practice this, right? Even in a small situation, but God's probably going to give you an opportunity to say, oh, yeah, Pastor said on Sunday to be joyful in all things or to rejoice in all things. And so let me practice this and see how it works. That's a marvelous, marvelous perspective that God has given us to counter all this negativity in our lives, to make sure that we maintain our center in Christ and don't allow all of these influences to rob us of the joy that we have. Second thing we want to talk about this morning is how do we develop a healthy habit so that we can hold on to the joy that we have. C.S. Lewis, you know that name? Wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. And it was his biography of a reflection back on his life as he came to faith in Christ later on in his life. And he said this about the subject of joy. He said, I used to find joy in so many things. I used to find joy in so many things. He said, one of the things was classic literature. Where do you find joy? What are some of just the hobbies that really bring you joy? Anybody? Huh? Music, of course. Yeah. I find great joy in music. All right?
Being with Patty.
Being with Patty. Don't say it.
Okay.
All right.
Mine was watching my garden grow.
Watching your garden grow. Wow. All right. Good. Yeah. We had some opportunities this last week to be with grandkids. That's great. I love being with my grandkids. Anything else? What brings you joy?
A long walk in the forest.
A long walk in the forest. Good luck with that. There are some pine trees just north of your Belinda. Yeah. So, some. Okay. Heather? Your kids, yeah. Tremendous joy. I think they know that too, don't they? Heather has to say goodbye this next week to Jacob. He's going off to school 20 miles down the freeway. Like I'll never, but still, I don't mean to make light of it, because no matter where it is or anything else, it's difficult. Somebody else, what brings you joy?
Helping the homeless.
Thank you. Wonderful. Okay.
Clouds.
Wow. All right.
A good beer
from your pastor. So you know that's okay.
A beautiful sunset.
First baby. So is that a great-great-grandchild? Just great-grandchild. Okay. Yes.
Travel
does. Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. Pardon me?
Dog.
Okay. Good. I never got attached to animals, so, but I know people do, and I know they bring them great joy.
I like training my cast members.
Oh, okay. And Mark cued me in. This is a Disneyland.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic.
Cats.
Oh, yeah. One more?
Let's start a football season.
Football season, yes. Yay. College starts 2 more weeks. We don't watch preseason games because they don't mean anything, but we're waiting for the real thing. Yes. Whoa. Good. All right. And it doesn't have to be good. It just has to be on the plate, right? Okay.
I actually find joy in my job.
In your job, yeah. How many of you find? How many of you find joy in your job most of the time? Good. On earth, yeah. Good. All right. So let's get back to C.S. Lewis. So C.S. Lewis said in his book *Surprised by Joy*, he said, "I used to get excited and find joy in all kinds of endeavors." And one of those was classic literature. So he would just pile books on his desk, and he would just start reading. And as he was reading, he would find tremendous joy in that. I do that too. I don't read as much as I'd like to, but when I do, I just light up with all the great ideas that I'm finding. But he said, when I came to Christ, and when I became a worshiper, I found that the joy that comes from all of these other endeavors were just a foreshadow of the joy that I have found in pursuing Jesus Christ, my Savior. He used to pursue all these other hobbies, and he said there was joy there. And he said, you know what, the joy was not so much in the hobby itself, but he said it was in the loss of myself as I pursued those things. Does that make sense? That somehow in my endeavors to get involved in all of these activities and interests, I lost myself a bit. And as a result of that, this joy came to my life. And he says, now, as a believer, the joy comes in pursuing Jesus Christ. Because in that, he is also losing himself as he finds Christ. You think that's right? That pursuing Jesus is more rewarding than work? You want to comment?
I think some of that, with the joy that we find in all these other things, I think a lot of that has to do with just the gratefulness that Christ has given us the opportunity to pursue that. So I think you can have the joy with these things combined with the joy of Christ blessing us to be able to do these things.
Good. Yes, I agree. So C.S. Lewis said, all these things bring joy, but he found that they were only a foretaste of the joy that comes from faith. The more you and I trust Christ, the more time we spend with him, the more we love him, the more we surrender our lives to his will, the greater joy we will find. And you know that already, but this is just a good reminder because we tend to forget. If we want to hold on to this joy that Christ gives us, first of all, we have to practice it in the midst of all the difficulties of life and in the midst of all the intrusions that come to us. We have to say to ourselves, I will rejoice and find joy in all things, even though the circumstance itself may not be joyful. And second of all, we have to live this life of faith dedicated to the pursuit of knowing Christ and his love for us. And as we do that, C.S. Lewis would say, and I agree with him, you will find joy beyond measure. This morning, let's first do a little homework. If you have a sin in your life that needs to be confessed this morning, I encourage you to do that right now. And don't forget, God wants to forgive and to restore your joy. If your life has thrown a lot of negatives at you lately, and you have found yourself just missing this joy of Christ because we live in a negative world and you've taken it on the shoulders pretty heavily, please take seriously this command of God to be joyful always in the midst of whatever circumstance you are, to find and express the joy that you have in Christ. Remember, that's just simply God's script for you. That's how we handle the difficult situations of life. And if you have just sort of developed a negativity towards life in general, for whatever reason, I want you to know that God wants you to experience more fully his joy. He wants you to leave that negativity behind. It in itself is a sin, because what we have done is we've replaced our joy and our trust with fear or with discouragement. And I'm encouraging you this morning, will you please let that aside and get back on track with God again so that you can experience the joy that he wants to give you. And all of us, let's give thanks to God for the joy that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a God who gives joy, who restores lives, who forgives sins, and who brings us to an awareness again of the life that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord, a life of joy. We thank you, Lord, that we can experience that daily in our lives. Restore it where it needs to be restored, and just allow us, Lord, to celebrate the joy that we have in you. And all God's people said, amen.